friends and enemies, we have a very special episode for you today from a panel that Len and I facilitated on June 1st in Toronto for ShakePay and their entire team. On the panel with us were Chris Johnston from TSN, Ali Hammam from Tahini's, of course, and Nick Carrazza from Rockstar Real Estate, also co-host of Your Life, Your Terms with his brother, Tom. We had a lot of fun with this. We did about a half hour worth of discussion, some Q&A after, which I think we ended up leaving out for various reasons, quality among others, difficult to record in an environment like that. So the panel was really good about orange pilling, our sort of Bitcoin stories, among other things. I think you guys will really enjoy this. And I'll just say, before I cut to the episode here, if you ever have a chance to go to one of these panels, whether it's ShakePay or one of the meetups, for example, the one next week, I can't recommend it enough. The energy in the room was amazing. You're always going to meet people that are happy to share their story, happy to share their experience, and want to hear about yours too. It's really a beautiful thing, the community that's being built around Bitcoin. So anyway, hope you enjoy this and have a good weekend. What's left of it anyway?
I know he read the tea leaves in the mempool or something and figured out that we were going to potentially partner with Tahini's, which we hadn't, but we took that opportunity. I spoke to Hannah and we reached out on Twitter and we reached out to both the Canadian Bitcoiner podcast guys, who I'll introduce in a second, and the Tahini's guys, who I'll introduce in a second. And yeah, so a little marriage was made at that point. So we were their first, they were our first official podcast partner, where Legal got involved and we signed paperwork. Thank you, Legal, for making that happen. Without further ado, the hosts of the Canadian Bitcoin podcast, Joey and Len. Come up on stage. They will be our moderators for this panel. Okay. Next up, we got. So, have you heard of the show Your Life, Your Terms? It's a podcast that is hosted by two brothers. We have one half of the brothers, also the founders of one half of the hosts, rather, also the founders of Rockstar Real Estate. These guys manage a ton of properties. They're excellent. Their show is not only about real estate, but investment, Bitcoin, how to live your life on your terms, living your best life. It's a wonderful show. I highly recommend it. We have one of the brothers from that show here today to join us. His name is Nick Carrazza. Please welcome Nick Carrazza to the stage. Next panelist, again, needs no introduction, an inspiration to small and medium-sized businesses in this country. We mentioned him earlier. Greg gave him a shout-out. The Real Tahini's has been a rocket ship, meteoric rise in as far as their growth in the last year or two. They've gone from a couple of restaurants to 13 now, making headway, supporting the Bitcoin narrative as part of their journey. And we're really proud to also be partners with them to some degree on their initiatives, working together to help grow this this mission. Please welcome to the stage Mr. Ali Hammam from Tahini's. And last but not least, an official insider. For those of you who are into the sports scene, you will definitely recognize this man from his regular hits on TSN and Sportsnet. He recently wrote a piece in the Toronto Star about a former Leafs player who's using Bitcoin as a store of value and self-sovereignty. He is a true Bitcoiner and wanting to use his platform to help the sports industry get some exposure to Bitcoin. And he is here today gracing us with his presence, Mr. Chris Johnston. You can grab this one if it doesn't work. So Joey, Len, the floor is yours.
Man, super happy. Thanks, Carlo, for the introduction. Carlo told us over the last week or so, sporadically through half-written text messages, shitty DMs, that he was gonna come up with a five-minute, a comedy routine that you said was gonna land. And I don't know about you guys. That's the first time I've heard your comedy. Didn't land for me. Did it land for you guys?
Yes, it did. Come on, guys. too much.
I know, yeah. I know. Thanks, Carlo. I appreciate that. So we get a good panel here. You guys are, I think, from all sort of business backgrounds, walks of life, goes to show what the sort of connective power of Bitcoin can be, right? So do you want to introduce yourselves first? I know Carlo did a bit of an intro. Maybe we talk a little bit about our orange pill story since we're trying to convince these guys to go. I think we're trying to convince them to go full Bitcoin. John, I don't want to step on your toes. I know you deal in another token, sir. But yeah, I think today we're going to talk a little bit about Bitcoin. Why? What is it? What does it do for you? So Chris, I don't know if you want to start.
It's a big question. Well, I'll take you back to March 2020, big time in all of our lives. I'm sure everyone remembers what you were doing. At that point in time, I was working at Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. I used to go to every single Maple Leafs game, so my life was rather busy traveling, chasing them all over the continent, and then everything stops. And that's when I figured out what Greg Foss figured out, and that we're all fucked. Because I had some time to not be traveling, to not be doing those things, and to think. And honestly, this is I sort of found this just by accident, that I was worried that basically I was fucked. So I started running again at that point. I had more time, and this is where I got orange-pilled. I just started listening to Bitcoin podcasts and became familiar with who Greg Foss was. I didn't know Greg before then, Michael Saylor. I'm sure all the people that you all listen to, and got more and more deeply down the rabbit hole, and I'm buying every day with ShakePay. So I have complete conviction in Bitcoin. I've sort of given up on my family because eventually you get really annoying and nobody listens anyway.
Crazy Bitcoin guy.
I know. And I tried on Twitter. You know, I have a following of people who like hockey or want to know what's going on with hockey news. I'm just getting fucking destroyed there. So I'm being a little more quiet about it for the time being. I mean, not certainly in a private setting like this one, but I think Bitcoin's the future. And as I say, I'm all in.
I love it, man. I love it. Len, you want to introduce Ali? Get him started. Not that he doesn't need the wheels greased, but grease him anyway.
What can we say about Ali? Everybody knows him. He's a legend in this field. So yeah.
Thank you, man. No, that's very nice of you. I'm not a legend. I'm just a normal pleb like all of you guys, honestly. And I was talking to Julian before we came in, and he asked me, why do you love Bitcoin so much? And it occurred to me that Bitcoin is a fair opportunity. And I left Egypt, I came to this country because of that. I came here because Canada was supposed to have fair opportunity for everyone to work hard, bust his ass, and get rewarded. And unfortunately, the more I learned about the monetary system here, the more I realized that, you know, that's not true. And like Greg said, we're all fucked, right? And Bitcoin to me represents capitalism in its true sense, and it represents not equality but fair opportunity for everyone, and that's why I love Bitcoin.
I love it.
This Sunday in Oakville, there's going to be a grand opening at Tahini's. Check it out.
Yes, that's true. Sunday, Oakville.
Can't mess us up.
Thank you, Len. Appreciate it. We have a grand opening going on, 50% off, all wraps and bowls, and hope to see you guys.
I love it. And finally, Nick, your Bitcoin story, of course, but first, how much can you bench?
315.
That's good. That's strong. That's a lot. Okay, so your Bitcoin story. You and Tom obviously run like a real estate sort of enterprise. I can't wait to hear.
Yeah, so we have a real estate brokerage, but it's really geared towards working with investors. The whole thing's been working on like with residential mom and pop investors to buy properties. And I guess what happened was, you guys are all young. This is like a young room, so definitely make me, I'm the old guy in the room here. But in 2008, there was this thing called the financial crisis. I don't know if any of you guys heard that. So when that happened, it was all because of debt. And that's what caused us. My brother and I looked at each other. We're like, what the fuck happened? Like, what is this? Like, how did this all happen? This is a disaster. Like, aren't people supposed to understand this shit? So, sorry, I apologize for that. But so we started looking deep into kind of the kind of monetary system and the way the financial world worked in just around the world and stuff. And that's when we started realizing that we're all fucked, like everyone else. So it was shortly after that that we're like, this is a mess. And we really started studying this stuff. We started studying the Federal Reserve and getting really nerdy about it. And we kind of got into gold because of it. And at the same time, it's why we started buying more and more real estate, because we're like, this is a hedge against how screwed up the system is. Because if they're going to inflate everything, the assets, these hard assets, at that time we were looking at gold and real estate, they have to go up because they're just going to keep printing this money.
So, you know, one of the things when I was thinking about, you know, how to kind of conduct a panel and ask questions and all that stuff, like I mentioned in the intro, there's all sorts of different backgrounds here. And so with those different backgrounds, you got journalism, small business real estate. And two of us are some jokers to talk about. But the projections you guys probably see amongst your friends, colleagues, family, it's all a little different, right? So Chris, you were mentioning that you were getting you used some harsher language. You're getting turned away on Twitter from people who, you know, don't want to hear the Bitcoin story. They don't want to hear the reasoning and the rationale behind adopting Bitcoin. What's that been like? What are the most common things you hear from your colleagues or from other people in your space?
Well, I'm pretty naive, to be honest, because I didn't think about it. I didn't give it a lot of deep thought. I mean, this was literally the way it went in my brain.
This thing has unlocked something inside me that literally has already changed my life in a profound way. I believe in it meaningfully. And I thought, if I just put out the signal a little bit that I'm into this, there might be someone out there that is interested in following me because of hockey, because, oh, he's talking about that Bitcoin thing. Maybe I'll get on it. I mean, I wasn't preaching. I wasn't telling anyone, you have to go do this. But even just by doing that, like, it was coming back 10 times, you know, the energy shit, like stuff that I, like, look, I'm a hockey journalist. Like, I can't compete with Michael Saylor the way he would attack you back on that question. And so eventually I did have to just sort of quiet it down a little bit just to do my job day to day. But it's funny, I just got my metrics back for the last year of the stories I've written at the Toronto Star, and I don't know if it's been 100 stories, say. The one that Carlos was referencing there was my second most read story the entire year on Peter Holland, who's a former NHL player who got Bitcoin. And so I think among the noise, it's good to sometimes step back and realize a lot of people maybe are interested in what you're doing or like what you're doing, just don't say anything. I mean, usually people get in your Twitter feed or you're on your socials to be negative and not to be positive. And so, you know, that's what I've experienced. As I say, I'm just trying to connect a few more people that you know, might be interested in this thing and might, you know, want to look into it, because I think it's already changed my life and I'm pretty new, you know, jumping down this rabbit hole.
Have you guys read the Peter Holland story? Did Carlo, like, send that around as prep work for today? Obviously fucking not. That's an interesting story. It's good for people to know how that journey went for him, right?
Sure. So this is a guy, he was raised outside Toronto, you know, climbed up through the minor hockey ranks, lived his dream, made it to the National Hockey League, played for the Maple Leafs, his boyhood team. You know, from the outside, you would look at his story and say, wow, that guy is super successful. Like, he's really made it. And what he found, actually, after he got traded away from the Leafs, is that hockey was never the same for him. And he was still playing at a high level. He went and played in Europe. He would have been making what, you know, most average people would consider good money. But he lost the passion for what he did. And he kept looking for something. And the thing that basically gave him the courage to walk away from his professional hockey career was Bitcoin. And, you know, he's taken a job at Sat Street on Bay Street here. You know, don't want to shout out necessarily a rival company, but what's interesting about his story to me is that this guy, again, from the far, you think he's doing everything that you would want to do, and yet it wasn't fulfilling him, and he found something in Bitcoin. And so it was really just his story, because, you know, he was playing professionally in Sweden in December, and he was working on Bay Street in, like, February, selling Bitcoin. And that's really unusual. I mean, most professional athletes, at least the ones that I've come into contact with, there's a real struggle from the first career to the next career, because you've had to put your whole life in to become a professional athlete. I mean, you're giving 98% of your energy, attention, focus to be the best in the world at what you do. And I don't think that there's a lot of time to contemplate what's next. And so I just found it interesting that this gave him hope, the way I think it gives, again, Tahini's hope. We're all different backgrounds here. We've come from different circumstances, but we can unite around the freedom that I think that the power behind Bitcoin.
For a lot of us, there's a moment that we notice that Bitcoin, we have to buy into it, because, you know, March 2020 is one. But I want to touch upon Ali. You were in Egypt at the time of the Arab Spring, if I recall correctly, and no, that was a huge moment during that particular point in time of that area of the world. So tell us what happened there and why that brought you into this Bitcoin world, because that partially brought you to where we are today, something that happened there, the Arab Spring, the movement, the inflation, everything that took place. Tell us about it, like what you experienced over there, because we're partially now experiencing it here.
Yeah, so it didn't push me to Bitcoin right away because it was 2011. I wish it did, to be honest. 2011 for me, we were right there in the Arab Spring. Me and my brother were out there, you know, facing riot police, getting hit with tear gas, and just
sounds like Ottawa.
Exactly. You know, surprisingly, I ended up being in Ottawa too. Like I tend to kind of get gravitated towards these type of events, but yeah. So after the Arab Spring, I left because I kind of me and my brother came here because we felt like we had no future over there and we wanted to start our careers here. So we came to Canada, and a few years after, the Egyptian pound lost 65% against the US dollar in a span of like 5 years. And that all happened as a result of just excessive, like, loan, get a loan from IMF, debase the currency to shit. So it keeps happening all over the world, but we saw how that affected the rest of my family that lived in Egypt, and how just, you know, it's a constant grind to try to make more money so you can keep up with the, you know, rising costs, and the costs rise again, and make more money, and it's just a never-ending hamster wheel, you know, and that's just, you know, depressing. It comes to a point where it just becomes depressing. And then 2020 hit, and, you know, central bankers started printing trillions of dollars, and I don't know, like, if you guys ever thought about the number trillion, like, have you ever tried saying a billion, like, 1,000 times? It gets pretty wild, and we were at a point where we're supposed to be in a recession, yet people have more money. People around us have more money. People are getting money from the government, getting money from loans, getting money from everywhere. And it just didn't make sense. And it clicked to us at that point where, you know, we instantly realized that, okay, this is gonna, you know, this is gonna lead to inflation. How do we protect ourselves? How do we protect the 10 years that we've worked our whole lives trying, you know, the company that we tried to build? And, you know, we just went down the rabbit hole and came across Robert Breedlove's article, The Number Zero and Bitcoin. I don't know if any of you guys read it. If you didn't, you should check it out. It's a long ass read, but as soon as I read it, it just kind of like clicked for me. And I went through that, you know, that rabbit hole of obsessive studying and education and reading and buying more Bitcoin. And yeah, until I found myself that, you know, I was all in. I wanted to integrate it not just as an investment, I wanted to make it a way of life. So I integrated it with my business, with my kids' education funds, with my, you know, with my wife's gifts. She doesn't like it very much, but I think it's really cool. So yeah, and then, you know, here we are. Like, you know, people think that they're shielded because we live here in Canada. They think that these events can't happen to them. The reality is, you know, the world is a lot bigger than Canada. And, you know, I see this even back in Egypt. People think the world just revolves around Egypt. We always, I don't know, as I think as human beings, we tend to, you know, think like that, you know, with our countries. And just think bigger, you know, the world is a lot bigger than Canada. Canada is definitely going through a massive devaluation right now. And the best way that protected us, even though price is down, but guys, it fucking worked. Right, we bought Bitcoin back in mid-2020, it was at 10K, right? Think of anything that you bought back then, what worked, right? So, you know, even though you'll find criticisms when Bitcoin price is down or up or based on, you know, the moods, and but at the end of the day, the technology works, you just have to have a long time horizon.
For sure. So you're when you're not rubbing shoulders with billionaires, you're up here on panels with us. You do a lot of work. I'm sure. I appreciate that. When you are doing work with other businesses, you kind of become a node, I think, at least in Canada and internationally as well, Ali, for other small, medium-sized enterprises. Are you talking to these guys about the decision you made, the rationale? Are you experiencing some of the same hurdles that you came across when you decided to adopt Bitcoin on your balance sheet? Now that the price is a little lower, for example, you've seen some other stuff. What are your peers saying about Bitcoin adoption?
So when we first did it, you know, everyone around us were just calling us idiots. And when the price went up, everyone was calling us geniuses. And now we're back to idiots. So, but you know, a lot of good, you know, well-intentioned people that, you know, really study this, they come to us and they seek help. And what I would tell them is that Bitcoin is probably the best, you know, thing that you can integrate to your business in every way. So what I mean by that is that if you are a small business and you integrate Bitcoin into your balance sheet, right? You put out a tweet about it, you tweet about it, and you end up finding, even though the amount that you put, for example, might not be like a big amount, right? Maybe you bought like, you know, quarter Bitcoin or something, right? But you get this like community of like-minded, you know, fanatics around the world that will cheer for you and that will recognize you. And if they get a chance that they're in the neighborhood around your business, they will come to your business, right? And that's just, you know, that's like the marketing perspective of it. But also it's gonna help you financially, you know, whether you want to use this Bitcoin for future expansions for your business, or whether you just want to have it as a balance sheet strategy, you know, like what we use, which we just continually add bits into our treasury every month, you can do that. And whether it's, you know, meeting and getting to know new people and new companies like ShakePay, you know, I had no idea what ShakePay is before Bitcoin. Now, you know, I get to meet a ton of new people get to know about, you know, me and my business and Nick and Tom's and you guys. And, you know, it just opens the door for a ton of opportunity, whether personally in your life or as a business entity or as countries, even like El Salvador.
And speaking about opportunity, I want to talk a little bit about real estate, and you're not going to go away unscathed here, Nick, so just be ready. But I want to hear your thoughts on how Bitcoin may potentially replace real estate, because up until now, everybody's been parking their money, safe money, in real estate, but may not seem like it's the case these days. Is Bitcoin going to be replacing it? Are your colleagues talking about Bitcoin as a potential place to park your money versus real estate? I want to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah, so with my dad, he was making $1,000 a week. He had a drywall business, okay? So he'd go out, lay drywall all day. You know, we'd come, but we were like a middle-class family, grew up in Mississauga. He'd come back, and then we'd pay the bills, and he'd have some savings. And over time, my dad's 82 now. The savings that he had, that he saved in cash, the purchasing power has almost gone to nothing. So we look at this, and we're just like, this doesn't make sense. Why, the value that he brought the world back then, why is it worth shit today? Because the politicians decide to print all this money. It doesn't make sense. So this is like my father's time and labor that we're getting ripped off. And everyone here is the same thing. We're doing the responsible thing. We're creating more value than into the economy, and we're earning money for it. And if we create an excess of value, we can pay our expenses, and then we have savings. The responsible thing is to put those savings away so that we're able to use them at a later time. That's how things should work. But we all get screwed if we do that, if we do the responsible thing. So it's turned things like real estate into this necessary financial asset that we need, because if we leave our money in cash, we get screwed. So then, and then we have to take on risk. And every investment, there's risk involved. That's why you get a return. But it's like, does it make sense that we have to do this? So yeah, I think if it can establish itself, and I'll take that back. When it establishes itself, and there's more funds that come into it to see the purpose, because humans historically, we've always gone to the hardest money form. So once that happens, then people will store their excess value that they've provided to people in assets like this without having to go to all these other things. Is real estate still gonna be an investment asset? 100%. You can rent it out, it produces cash flow, just like other things will as well. But can it take some of it away, just like it can take some money from bonds and gold and all this other stuff? Yeah, 100%. I don't see how it can't. Like, I really don't, you know, and I guess maybe we need to reevaluate our business at one point, or maybe it just takes long enough that we're done with the business anyways. But I think so. I know that was a long answer, but I think it's the reason why that real estate has become this asset that everyone pours money into is important to understand, because it's because you can't leave it in savings or you just fall further and further behind. And we have these charts where we mapped out the average Canadian income versus the average Canadian home price. And it's sad, like the income goes up like this, the home price goes like this. And it's what we call the destruction of the middle class is the growing gap, right? So that's, and that's why. So yeah, it's gotta change, something has to change. And this is the opportunity for it to change. It's not controlled by anyone, it gives us, all of us, opportunity. It equals the playing field, like you were saying with El Salvador, across the globe. Like it's good for humanity. You know, it's like beyond real estate or anything else. Sorry, now I'm going off on a tangent.
That's all right. You want to keep going?
You have young kids. Like, I assume that all you guys have young kids. I'm maybe the only one who doesn't have a kid up here.
Well, some of us can get it done, right?
It would. In my defense, I've been married less than a year, okay? So I was just going to say, you know, if you had a pick, right, for your kids, your brother's kids, the asset that's going to perform the best over the next 50 years.
Like, I think everyone probably thinks it's Bitcoin, not real estate, right? Is there too many, it seems in my view anyway, there's too many hands in the pie when it comes to real estate. Property taxes, obviously, the mortgage rates are, you know, whatever they are day to day, month to month, those things are not really reflective of a healthy economy, right? There's too many moving parts. Are you guys sort of in the same boat? I know you kind of mentioned in jest there maybe that the business needs to change. Let's say, you know, for you guys, are you thinking 50 years with 100 grand right now, what are you doing with it? You doing real estate or are you doing Bitcoin?
I'll take the easy way out and I'll tell you exactly what I'm doing with my kids. I'll do both. So I've bought a property for each of my kids that we rent out. I'll hold that for a period of time because, you know, just demographic trends here and all that type of stuff. And there's a need and you can get an income stream from it, all this stuff. But I've also bought Bitcoin for my kids and my kids, look, they're 8 and 11, but they know what Bitcoin is. And when the price went down recently, they're just like, my oldest daughter found out and she's like, hey, so does that mean I can buy more right now? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So she'll bring me cash and then I'll use the cash and I have an allocation that I have. She's too young to open up an account, right?
Hopefully they're using Shake.
So, and I was just gonna say,
Shake,
it's the easiest way to do it, right? It's super quick and simple so I can show her the numbers and that's how I'm buying them. That's what we're doing with them. Right, so 100%, like I'm a strong believer in it. I think there's some assets that are like performing assets, like businesses that spit off income and cash flow, and those assets are important, at least in what we believe, those are important in a good financial picture, right? But then savings, you need some savings that hold their value too, so we are definitely doing both.
I like it, that's a good answer. So we're in the room here with a bunch of talented young men and women. Thank you guys for having us, of course, and Jean and Carlo, although Carlo, whatever, I guess. But, you know, one of the things we run into as Orange Pillars, like we're the Bitcoin guys in our friend group, right? Is that safe to say? Of course. Otherwise, we're going to be up here. Fuck, imagine we weren't. So, you know, what hurdles do you guys run into when you're introducing new people? And specifically, when I think about the people in the room with us, these guys are in a position to make changes that could make things easier, less friction, easier onboarding, things of that nature. What do you want to see from a product like ShakePay when it comes to making things simpler for the first time Bitcoiner, someone buying their first sats? Is that too big? Does one of you guys want to take that?
I'll tell you an easy one. It's just multiple accounts, right? Easy way to just have multiple, just to break it up. Like I said, for my kids, instead of having to manually track it, if I could just break it out like there, like a secondary wallet or something, like however it would work, I don't know. But that's just nice for me as a seed, because then it just becomes more of a savings vehicle, you know, that way, for if I'm using it for different purposes, for different pots. I don't know if the engineering team's like, oh, fuck, why are you saying that?
There's no one taking notes. I don't see anyone taking notes.
You know, before I came up here, I was thinking to myself, like, what can I possibly say here that can bring the most value to you guys here? And, you know, I tell this to my team all the time at Tahini's, is like, as a business, I like to structure it, think of it as like, how do we get sales? Is 40% of it is the product itself, 30% is the customer experience, and then the other 30% is the marketing. And with you guys, the 40% of product is Bitcoin. Do you guys know how fucking amazing that is? to be selling a product that is constant, doesn't go down in value or quality over time, or like, that's fucking phenomenal. And not just that, it maintains its quality over time, but you guys get to make it better. And you know, you make it better, you focus on the customer experience, and you enhance the Bitcoin network as a whole. And if this is not exciting to you guys, I don't know what is, right? Just focus on, you know, the Bitcoin network is one big network. So, you know, just trying to integrate and, you know, build better products on top of it is something I think is super cool. But you're selling the best product in the world right now. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Tough fact to follow that one.
You know, I'm older too. I think this is like my orange pill challenge with my friends, honestly, still just getting their minds around what Bitcoin is. Like it's a little different idea. I would say, and I'm not just saying this because where we're sitting, I find of the apps or services I've used to buy Bitcoin, ShakePay is by far the most user-friendly, especially if you maybe don't understand fully what you're buying. I mean, it's very clear. I've had no issues with it, and so keep on keeping on, guys. Like I mean that genuinely. That's not just because I'm sitting up here or anything like that. I think that it's the place I would send someone who maybe isn't spending $100,000 right off the bat, but to be like, okay, you got to figure out how this is, and you can transfer it. It's easy to, if you get cold storage, all that stuff. I mean, it's really clean user experience. So I appreciate it.
Something quick. We just did a webinar for some of our investor base like last week, or so, I don't know, someone in our office did it, and it was for like pure beginner. We get a lot of very beginner Bitcoin questions, and yeah, ShakePay is the app that we recommend because, and for exactly that, like it is just so brain dead simple, which is great. So I think to build on what you're saying, you guys are 100% doing a service for people. You're not don't just have this financial app. You're doing a service for people long term and helping them protect their future. And I just, yeah, don't lose sight of that. What these guys said is big.
Well, do you want to wrap it up with any closing comments?
I actually want to ask all three of these gentlemen, very briefly, what do you think Bitcoin is? What is Bitcoin to you? And be very brief on this.
Freedom for me. That's all it is. I mean, it's the thing that's going to give me the most amount of time later in my life to pursue the things I think are important. And that's what could be more important.
I'd say fair, freedom, fuck you, money. 3 F's. That's what it is.
So both mine were teams. I was like, mine was like, fuck you to the establishment. That's just, so that was one. And then our kind of slogan for our business is your life, your terms, to the freedom part. And it's just the ability to live life on your terms. Right?
Yeah. I'm going to concur with it's freedom. It's a, definitely fuck you money. But it's a way to secure your time, your effort today for tomorrow, because somebody else is going to be devaluing it for you.
That's it. Man, for all you guys in the room, like, you know, we agreed to do this not only because we like ShakePay, the people, obviously, like, you guys are a great team, but also because I think that we're all sort of marching under the same banner. Are we not?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're marching under the same fucking banner. Me and all you guys, you don't know my name, I don't know your name, but at the end of the day, this is not just shaking sats, it's not sats back, shake paid, all that stuff is great. The app is great, the paycheck is great. Some of you guys are probably getting paid in Bitcoin, which is fucking sick too. But at the end of the day, it's a fucking mission, man. Because if you don't march under this banner, no one's gonna fucking do it. If not you, then who? Right?
Right.
So keep it up. We're gonna try our best to help you guys. You guys keep doing your thing and we're fucking, you know, we're all gonna make it, like they like to say, right? So there you go.
And watch the Canadian Bitcoiners, please.